All right, what's going on, everybody? Chuck Giants here with another podcast on my Living on Earth series. And today I want to talk about living without refrigeration and the pressure canning as a real option. You know, on average, the average American household actually throws away between 30 and 40% of the food that people put in their refrigerator. And that's really kind of staggering. What we've noticed, we've lived without refrigeration for almost 3 years now. And so a few things that we noticed. Number one, our food bill dramatically tumbled. And number two, we have virtually zero food waste. Whatever we don't personally eat is either going to the dogs or to the chickens or to the pigs or something else. And what I do is I make prefabbed meals, basically. I do can just regular meats and vegetables and things like that to make into things later. But what I prefer to do is to make ready-to-eat meals. My wife can take a mason jar to work with her. I can open up a jar. We can throw it in the pan and heat it up, and it's all ready to go. And like I said, it's been almost 3 years that we've lived without refrigeration, and we actually really enjoy it in a lot of ways. Our food bill just dramatically decreased. And we know what is in our foods because most of the stuff is locally grown. We don't grow everything, but a lot of the beans and the vegetables and things that we do use are local. And most of the meat is either, I fish a lot, hunting, trapping, and do some bartering. And then what we raise here on our small little homestead, it's nothing big. It's just enough for me and my wife. And so I want to talk about pressure canning. There's two major brands out there. You can get the All-American pressure canners, and they are very expensive. And then there are the Presto canners that you can get at Walmart. Our local Ace Hardware carries them. They are a lot more affordable. One of the differences between them is that the Presto canners come with a rubber gasket seal that can and do wear out after time, whereas the All-American cookers don't have a seal. They lock into place. The All-American cookers are also, I believe, a little bit thicker, the material, than the Presto cookers. But we've had no issues with the Presto cookers. They work quite well, and we've purchased a whole bunch of extra rings and parts for them. I currently have 8 Presto cookers. One of them is a double-decker. The reason I have that is so that I can mass produce meats. A month, well, maybe it's been more than a month ago, we harvested a pig here. And, you know, I want to be able to just crank it out. I'm going to be bear hunting. Hopefully I get a bear this season. And I want to be able to, you know, to put it up quickly. Now, we have some coolers that so when we do get an animal, we go and we fill the coolers with ice and we put, you know, the processed meat into the coolers so it gives me time, you know, in the summer and things like that to actually put the stuff up into jars. Some things that I want to talk about as far as there was someone talking about, make sure you add salt. You don't have to add salt to pressure canning or vinegar to pressure canning. That has nothing to do with the preservation of the foods. There's really no need to be looking anything up anywhere because the pressure canner, the Presto pressure canners, come with a guidebook that tells you everything that you would need to know. What were some other things? You don't need to pressure can tomatoes. You can do a water bath canning with those. I'll talk about water bath canning at a different time. I'm talking about pressure canning right now. So those are some things you don't have to concern yourself with. Now, there's a lot of give and take with pressure canning. Depending on what your altitude, it's going to change your times and your pressures. And you can give and take. It's like a seesaw in one direction or another. I kind of want to talk about rebel canning is what they call it, to kind of give you an idea what I mean by the seesaw. So rebel canning is the idea that you can water bath can everything, your meats and all that kind of stuff. And the argument is that people did this prior to there being pressure canners. And indeed, that is the case. And a lot of these channels recommend and say that you should Say like you're gonna water bath can some meat, that you should do it for 3 hours. Well, what they fail to tell you, you know, the people that were doing that out east at you know, 0 to 1,000 foot elevation. And so like where we're at, you can safely rebel can meat, but you'd have to, I believe it's 18 hours is how long you would have to water bath can, see, because we're at a different altitude. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to kill botulism. That's the whole point of pressure canning. It goes, I believe it's 240 degrees, which is well past boiling, and it kills the spores of botulism. And that's what you're wanting to do. So that's what I mean by the seesaw, right? There's a lot of mythologies out there with stuff. And I watch a couple of Amish channels, and they've been doing a lot of pressure canning for a long time. And they won't do things like debubbling. I don't do that anymore either. So, you know, you'll get a lot of mixed information out there about what is safe and what you need to do. And I found there's a little bit of give and take, even with the times. For a lot of stuff, you got 75 minutes where I'm at my elevation, 75 minutes for pints and 90 minutes for quarts. I like to go 100 minutes and 90 minutes on the pints and 100 minutes on the quarts, just to be sure. You know, it's not going to hurt anything to go a little bit longer. You could do less pressure and more time. Less time and more pressure, right? There's a seesaw here. You got a little bit of play with it. Again, adding salt, you don't have to add salt. That doesn't have anything to do with the preservation of foods. And I don't like reusing lids. A lot of people do reuse lids, and I have, but I find my rate of successful seals drops down. excuse me, I got a cold. This pig that we processed, I got 58 quarts and 37 pints, and I used all new lids, and I only had one jar that didn't seal properly, and so that's well acceptable, and we just ate that one right away. So people were asking about shelf life of stuff. It's, you know, and oh, someone was talking about different meats. It doesn't matter what kind of meat, whether it's fish or elk or beef. That's not really what has to do with the longevity of the preservation. What has to do with that is your storing conditions, and you want to keep everything in a cool, dry, out of the sunlight, and it'll last years, possibly decades. You know, it lasts a really long time. We have dug a root cellar along the side of our house that serves two things. One, it serves as air conditioning, because we don't have air conditioning out here in the desert. And like today, it's 104, and it's like 82 here in the house, which isn't bad, about 11% humidity. And that's because we dug that root cellar that serves as a place for us to store all of our foods. And we got penicillin and medicines and things that we keep in there, because it normally stays about 55 degrees there. And there's no sunlight in there, and it's dry. If you were to take those same jars and keep them on the shelves or keep them out in the sun, they're not going to last nearly as long. So it's not really, you know, the type of meats that you're canning. It's how you actually store them that really plays a big part on the longevity of things. Like I said, our food bill dramatically decreased, probably to a great, I mean, if you're thinking 30 to 40% of the food that you put in a refrigerator goes bad, that's a lot of wasted food, and that's a lot of money out the door. And so, you know, when we open up a jar of whatever it is that we're eating, we usually eat the whole thing. And like I said, if we don't, the dogs can have it, or the chickens can have it. And we got rabbits, and we got, we're going to be phasing out pigs. They take too much water out here in the desert. Not just drinking, but they have to have a mud. They don't sweat, so they need to be in mud in order to cool down. So we're going to be, phasing those out. Someone asked about living out here. I'm going to talk about what we grow, what we don't grow, all that kind of stuff in a different podcast. But pressure canning is just a fabulous way to preserve things. The other things that I do, I have a little smokehouse, and I do sun drying. I just made some badger pemmican not too long ago. I like to take pemmican with me into the woods. I've been doing a lot of scouting for bear for September 1st is when season opens up. And so I've been camping out in the woods, and it's just a really great way to stay fed. It's very nutritious. It's very calorie dense. I like the way it tastes. A lot of people don't. But sun drying is something that I do here a lot of, more than the smoker. I'll do the smoker in the fall and the winter, but in the summertime when it's 100 degrees out here, it doesn't take long. You know, I actually just put it along a fence. I hang it on the fence, cut it real thin, and hang it up on the fence and make jerky out of it. And I usually don't keep it as jerky. I use a rock, two stones, and I grind the meat down, and then add beef tallow to it, 50-50 ratio, and make that into pemmican. And I put that into wax paper. Now, if you keep that also in a cool, dry, out-of-the-sun place, it'll last a long, long time. And so those are the ways in which we preserve our foods. And our eggs, they come from our chickens. And so if you don't wash them and you don't refrigerate them, they last a long time. And then if you take lime and you put lime in a jar with some water, and then you put your eggs in there, they will last up to 2 years. So we do that as well. So there's all kinds of ways to preserve foods. And what we like is we have a very simple, we're kind of a paleo, not real strict about it, but kind of a paleo type diet. We don't eat sugars, processed foods. We really keep the carbs way down. We don't eat breads. We used to. I used to bake a lot of breads in the Dutch oven and stuff, but kind of got away from that. And, you know, there's no more joint pain and things like that going on. All of these carbohydrates that we eat is kind of, like I say, the second Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is the third diabetes, I think is what they call it. A lot of it is caused by carbs and swelling. So we have a very simple yet very nutritious and very tasty diet. And pressure canning is essential. Like I said, I got 8 of them that I've bought over the years. And I just get into it more and more. And we have, you know, we haven't bought any jars in a while, but when you're going to have your initial investment. We have probably 500 or 600 jars now, and we didn't go out and buy them all at once. We would always pick up a pack or two of jars, and we still buy every single week is lids. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of lids. Once you have the jars, as long as they don't chip or crack, you're good to go. And like I said, I don't like to reuse the lids, although, excuse me, I do save them in case of an emergency. So we got even thousands more of the used lids that we wash, and then we put them up into Ziploc bags. But I like to use fresh lids every single time. And if there was an emergency or something like that, I would go ahead and use the used ones. But like I said, my ratio of jars that don't seal right do seem to go up using the used lids. So you can reuse them, but, you know, like I said, you're going to have some jars that just don't seal right. And also, I wouldn't buy, like if you go to Walmart, there's a cheaper brand of lids, and then there's Ball. You're way better buying the Ball. I have a greater success rate with the Ball. I wouldn't buy and Dollar General and Family Dollar sell off-brand jars, excuse me, from China. There's been reports that there was lead in some of those jars. And so you get what you pay for, and you're going to have the initial investment. The pressure canners are anywhere, depending on where you get them, what time of year. Well, now with Trump's Make America Great Again, they're kind of a little bit more expensive. You used to get them for about $100. They're usually around $120, $140, $160. Like everything else, it's gone up, especially if there's metal involved. But you're going to have the initial investment of that. I highly recommend that you get extra parts for them. And also, so you're going to see two different kinds. You're going to see the ones that have the gauge, the pressure gauge, and then you're going to have the ones that have the weights. They both have a weight that goes on them, but the one has a weight that goes back and forth. I prefer the ones with the weights because I can listen, I can hear that it is still at the right thing, and I don't have to constantly be looking at the gauge. As a matter of fact, I don't use the gauge even on the ones that I have the gauge. I put the weight on it. I'm thinking about taking all the gauges off and putting a bolt and a washer on there and just closing off the gauges. And a lot of people that do a lot of pressure canning will tell you the same thing. It's kind of a pain in the ass to have to always be looking at the gauge when you can just listen to see what the rhythm and the beat of that little weight is. Something like that rather than, you know. But you get used to the sound of it, and then you can be doing other things and not pinned to the canner. What else about pressure canning? Well, it's pretty simple. They're really safe. A lot of people are afraid of them exploding. Never had any issues with that. I mean, they have a safety deal that pops up so you can't open them until they've depressurized to the correct deal. Now, another thing, seepage. Let me talk a little bit about seepage. I have found that the slower you heat it up and the slower you let it cool down, the less seepage. And what seepage is where product will actually spew out of the jar, and you'll notice it in your water. You'll actually see some of your product in the water. And what that has a tendency to do then, of course, is you're not getting a good seal because your product has oozed over the top. I found that happens a lot when you heat the pressure canner up too much or too fast, or you let it cool down too fast. From what I understand, the all-American pressure canners do less of this than the Presto. But like I said, the workaround for that is just don't heat it up real quick and don't let it cool down real fast. Another thing is when you store your jars, do not leave the rings on. Take the rings off. You put the rings on while you're canning it, the screw-on round rings. You shouldn't leave those on when you're storing your food because it can give you a sense of false sealing because it's actually pinning that lid down. The other thing is the lid should suck in a little bit. Yeah, you can't hear that. But if you push on the top of that lid and it's going tink, 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 it didn't seal all the way. So that's a good way to check to make sure that you have a good seal. And then when you open it up, you should get a good whoop. You should hear it open because it's vacuum sealed. That's what's going on there. There's no oxygen left in there for the botulism to grow. I'm trying to think of what other things are important. You know, okay, some things, we cooked some rattlesnake not too long ago, and also some carp. So here's two things that have a lot of bones in them. And here's one, you could also do pressure cooking with these, which is different than pressure canning, okay? Pressure cooking is something you can do and then eat right away without putting it in jars. And you can use these Prestos as either a canner to put in mason jars or as a cooker. And you'll get really tender stuff. So one of the things to cook rattlesnake and a thing like carp is to either pressure cook it or pressure can it, and those bones become edible because they've totally, I like to say you could put a golf ball in a pressure canner and it'll come out tender. literally, you could. And so I've actually fallen in love with them. It allows us to live and to, you know, there's stockpiling food is good to a certain extent. And then, you know, what we like is we can harvest food and preserve it ourselves rather than having to go to a store and buy all these canned goods and stuff like that. You know, we learn how to, we don't live too far from the river, you know. I went and I got some carp just Sunday. Yeah, that was yesterday. Even though the river is dry, there are large puddles all along the river, and inside those puddles are loads of carp. And so I do bow fishing, a lot of bow fishing. Carp is not a game species in New Mexico. You're not allowed to bow fish for game species, and that includes catfish. You can on lakes, but not on any rivers. So we're restricted to only bow fishing for carp. But despite what people think, man, carp is actually good eating. I tell people all the time, I could give you a jar of carp. You wouldn't know it was carp. It's in your head. You know, the badger that we just, I trapped some badgers for a lady who was had a problem with the badgers killing her birds. Badgers and raccoons and all of that stuff was a staple for people up until recent times. It's good meat. It's in your head. It's just modern. Like I said, I could give you raccoon, badger. That badger pemmican was just fabulous. So I eat just about anything. I'm going to be trapping, I'm hoping bobcat this year. I have permission. Someone's got 1300 acres along the river, and cause you can't trap, on public lands anymore here in New Mexico. So you have to get permission for private property, but, I'm not really going to do coyotes this year, but, I'm wanting bobcats, raccoons, skunks. What else? Well, that's pretty much my primaries, and I will eat all of that stuff. It's good, and it'll all be pressure canned. And like I said, I could give you some, and if I didn't tell you it was carp or if it was badger or a raccoon, you really wouldn't know the difference, man. You really wouldn't. And like I said, I hope to bag a bear this year with my. I do traditional recurve bow hunting. And I'm pretty optimistic. I have a, it's amazing. I got a couple of spots. I found a natural spring up in the mountains, and I found some groves of white oak trees. And so I have three spots that I've picked out along heavy trails. And I'll go there, and I'll just sit. And it's amazing how much, I hope I get my deer tags next year, because I could have bagged about six deer already. I mean under 10 yards, and they don't even see me there. No bears yet, though, so we'll see. Hopefully I can bag a bear. And, of course, we're going to process all that fat down. And bear fat is actually lard. It's not really tallow, but there's a lot of uses for that as well. And, you know, we raise rabbits, so the bear fat, the fat that we got off the badgers, raccoon fat, any kind of tallow, we add to that meat because, as you may know, rabbits don't have a lot of fat, and we need fat to live. And so we'll add that to the rabbits. Rabbits is something we're raising because they're a lot easier than pigs, especially with water consumption. That's a total different topic. But anyway, yeah, preserving foods, raising your own foods, catching your own foods. All moving towards greater sustainability. There's no such thing as independence and total sustainability. That's kind of a myth. But you can be less dependent on the world. There's no doubt about that. And keep it more local. And pressure canning is essential to our way of life here. Living without refrigeration. Not many people in America, not even off-grid people, live without refrigeration. That's why I call what we do off-grid minimalism, because there's a lot of people that live off-grid, but a lot of them have $20,000 solar systems so they can have air conditioning and coffee pots, and they live exactly like they would in town without any behavior, change is what we consider it, living a non-consumeristic lifestyle and realizing that we don't own anything, that we are merely stewards of whatever it is, the land, the dog, the guitar, whatever it is, we don't own anything, man, not even our own soul. And we're trying to walk lightly upon this planet and to live a more simplistic and wholesome life. And so I would invite you to share my content on your social media platforms. If you have questions, please ask. Really appreciate all the positive feedback I got on talking about this over on a forum. I've been catching a lot of hell over there lately. But anyway, yeah, those are some pressure canning generalities and some things to consider when you're going to get into pressure canning. All right, everybody. Peace.